You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Welcome back to Fashion Cast. This week's guest is a very lively and well-known local celebrity stylist immersed in the fashion industry. Born and raised in Southfield, Michigan, she's been on the fashion scene for over a decade and opened the Styling Closet in 2005, a wardrobe styling and personal shopping boutique. In addition, she serves as the regional director of the Fashion Group International, as a personal development mentor, and as a visual merchandiser for both Macy's and BB. If that's not enough, she recently landed her own monthly radio show, Fashion Talk, on 910 AM Detroit, and is a regular guest on Fox 2 News Detroit. This month, she was recognized with a Favorite Look Award at the Detroit Institute of Arts Fash Bash. Lady Latrice Mackin, welcome back. Welcome to Fashion Cast.
Thank you for having me. Oh. I'm excited.
Yeah, thank you for being here today. Sorry, I said your name wrong. It's Mackin.
Macon.
Like Macon. Bacon. It's Macon, yeah. Like bacon. Okay, cool. So tell
Wait,
us a little.
And you said Lady Latrice.
Lady Latrice.
Is yeah. in the
our,
house.
Our nickname. Yeah. Our nickname for you is yes, Lady Latrice. Yeah. Yeah. So tell us about yourself.
And I feel like that was a Game of Thrones character.
That's funny. Yeah, I'm pure Game of Thrones. So, tell us about yourself and how you got into the fashion industry and how you became a celebrity stylist.
Okay, so I became a stylist at a really, really young age. I knew at the age of 60 I wanted to do fashion. So by the time I graduated from high school, I went off to college and I auditioned for Fate Defunct at Michigan State, where they was having auditions for a video shoot, which I made it. Jay Powell for UNV, he's on the song Something's Ooh. Going On. He's very popular. He asked me to be the wardrobe stylist and a backup dancer. And Ooh. I said, okay, let's take the challenge. So we went ahead and did. I had perform a group all together. And then, you know, they were looking for people to do the styles and everything. So I created the whole style and the rest was history.
Oh, so you're a dancer as well?
Not anymore, but.
A woman after my own heart. That is my biggest passion.
Yeah.
Oh, love to dance. We got to have a dance off one day.
Ooh, I'm probably too old right now.
Too old? Oh, come on.
So you went down the stylist path versus the designer path. Was there some reason for that?
Yes, I started off as a designer. I wanted to be a designer, but it was too much money in it. I was getting tired of sewing and trying to keep up with, you know, getting people stuff on time. So I said, I can't do it anymore. I really wanted to do styling. So I went off and branched into styling. I worked with my first customer ever and client ever was a celebrity. So it became from there. I never called myself a celebrity stylist until like 5 years from now. Five years ago. Uh-huh. Yeah, and I called myself a celebrity stylist.
So you're a celebrity stylist now. Is it for local celebrities or do you work outside
no,
Detroit
I work
as
outside
well.
Detroit.
Really?
Yes.
Like, I work name with, a couple. I'm just yeah. curious to know.
So I work at Hernandez Sanchez, and he's off the game, the show The Game that's mm-hmm. aired in L.A. I work with Power, Transformers, a lot of shows out here like Detroit 81. I did a lot of videos with Atlanta Records. The list goes on.
Wow.
Yeah, and I also worked with Beyonce before she even made a big.
No way.
Yes.
Wow.
Before she even got the
How did you
money.
Get in contact with her?
So Beyonce, before she even made it big, she was doing Destiny's Child, and mm-hmm. they was trying to get out there, and I was helping out with the wardrobe styling then.
I remember the concert yeah. here. I went to that one.
Yeah, yeah, so she came out with the army fatigue and stuff. That was before even yes. hit the stage and had the mark in the fashion industry now. So now that she got money, I'm trying to see if she still want to, you know,
she
have me.
You?
Yes.
She still remembers you. Don't forget about me.
Like, don't forget, bring me back. Yeah. Yeah.
So in terms of the, you know, what do you believe is the difference between the stylist and the designer?
Okay, so the stylist, we create the whole creative director. It's like a creative director. Mm-hmm. We create the whole scene on how the wardrobe should be looking, what type of scene it should be at. A designer is more so structured on the structure of the outfit. They know how the outfit want to look. They have a visual too, so it's like hand to hand. They have a visual, but it's up to us as stylists to create that image that they want and make it come true.
So you're working really closely.
Yeah, you have to work real close.
Yeah. And so are there any local designers that you've worked with, or are they primarily, you know, larger, or they design houses? Who are you working with in terms of the design side?
Detroit, since I'm in Michigan, if I'm like in LA or somebody, I work with designers. But since I'm in Michigan, I collaborate with Gucci, Louis Vuitton, Neiman Marcus, Saks, Macy's. Macy's one of my big stores. The list goes on, like Express. So I collaborate with them, Shinola Detroit, and just, you know, bring the clothes and everything to my clients. Or if you're doing a, like a magazine shoot, I bring the wardrobe and everything down there. I have a vision board, create the whole image and everything, how the photo shoot should look, and then we just execute it. That's my job.
Wow.
Yeah. It's fun.
That's so fun, yeah.
It can be stressful, too.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So you go on Fox 2 News. You have
yes.
a show on... Tell us about the show.
So I go on Fox 2 monthly or every other month. And my job is to bring the trends, talk about the new wardrobe trends for the fall, spring, summer, and so forth. So I go to New York for a whole week. I go to Fashion Weeks, go to the fashion house and everything, come back to Detroit, let them know this is what we want to see on the mannequins and everything at Somerset or any mall here in Detroit. And then I recreate it, and then I bring it to Fox 2 for all the viewers can see it as well, know how to dress and put the outfits and everything together. So I go on there monthly.
So you do your research in New York, you come back, and you just show it on Fox 2.
New York monthly. Or Paris.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's great.
It seems like, do you have like this front edge knowledge and cutting of what's coming?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I kind of know before it hits. I don't have to really go to New York to
get
it. Is
that even before the buyers are involved?
Yes.
So
I kind of know it.
Whoever is behind you and second, and you're coming back and saying, this looks like it's going to be trending.
Yes.
So
I
that's
tell them
different
what's gonna be
trendy,
to me
than
everything.
Just,
even
you know,
before it even goes on Instagram.
Yes.
Yeah.
Before, you know,
she has all the inside
people.
Info.
Yes.
Wow. I got to talk
sneaky.
To you after this. So you get all the information.
Yeah. Yeah, you're kind of like the designer, fashion stylist, detective kind of thing going on here.
The Olivia Pope of fashion.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
I like.
Yeah.
That's too funny. Well, so, you know, I just want to talk about this visual merchandising a little bit more since we kind of drove into that area. You know, how much time do you spend on that? I don't think people understand, and maybe even designers don't understand how important that is. I can't tell you how many times I've looked at a mannequin and thought, boom, they've got it. That's exactly what I want. I've had people drag stuff off the mannequin, you know, really. Mm-hmm. And it's not just because they only have my size on the mannequin or whatever. That may be the last one left, you know, that kind of thing. Or 9 times out of 10, well, that's what's on the mannequin here, but we don't have any of that in the store, and that kind of drives you crazy too.
Yeah.
So it seems to me that this whole visual merchandising is really important.
Yeah, visual merchandising is also like stylists too. We had visual merchandising, you had to come with the ideas so that the consumers or the shoppers can buy it right away. I started off doing visual merchandising for the Limited brand before they closed out and everything. Mm-hmm. So I used to do it for them when I was in school studying fashion and business. I went there, worked there, and then we had to come up with the ideas, but we also had to have our visual boards and everything, put it together and come up with the theme and the color of the season and make sure that the outfits are like, you know, the it look. Mm-hmm. So
what I was looking at, so if you go to New York, one of the things that we're noticing now is that the whole fashion industry is moving really fast. So it's not as seasonal as it was. And it seems to most people like us that we notice that the fashion week isn't as important. It's more celebrity, you know, centric. And it can be very competitive. And in the meantime, you know, they're looking for next season and the fashion is changing just like that. So are you noticing that too? Do you see some of that? Do you hear some of the rumblings about how the industry is changing?
The fashion industry, where New York Fashion Week itself is definitely changing. It used to be a whole week with all these tents, different fashion shows and everything. It used to be like like 7 to 8 days, maybe more so like 10 days. Now they cut it down to 5. That's because a lot of people are pulling out. And the reason for that is because a lot of stores are going digital. They're going visual. They're going to online stores.
Yeah.
So a lot of stores that you see like in the malls, whatever, are closing.
Like we were talking about that, Forever 21.
Yeah, Forever 21 is going bankruptcy. Mm-hmm. A lot of stores like Macy's, Lauren Taylor. So a lot of stores are getting hit hard because, you know, we don't have to go to Fashion Week anymore. You can just go online and Google it. Mm-hmm. Or you can just like go on live stream, so they don't have to go auto make that trip anymore. It's not everything accessible to everybody now in the palm of our hands.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of stores going to be you're going to see a lot of change in the next couple of years. Everything's going to be visual. Everything's going to be online, and it's going to be like a it could be a downfall.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a downfall because a lot of people like to try on their pieces and feel it. And so forth. I'm one of the people who like to try on my pieces versus, oh, that's cute online, you know?
Yeah, and then if it doesn't fit, then you got to go through the headache of returning it. Yeah, that's why you still need that brick and mortar shop.
And Amazon, you know, blame Amazon. Amazon has everything. You can just buy anything off Amazon, you know? So,
So it's been very, very disruptive. I don't know. I can't argue that it's been negatively disruptive because it seems to me the fashion industry needed to change. There's a lot of other things that need to be to change that we'll get into. But how it, you know, okay, so let's assume it's 5 years from now and that's happened, 10 years for sure. You know, where is Lady Latrice at that point, man?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Because are you still hanging around? Do we need a stylist at that point?
You got to keep up with the times.
It could be a pro and a con. Mm-hmm. Like, you can go online and find a stylist right now. But the only downfall with it, a lot of people, they're not going to want to go just online to get their pieces or anything. They're going to call someone up. That's the pro of it. They're going to call us up real quick. Like, Latrice, I need a whole wardrobe. I don't have time to go online because I don't know if it's going to get here on time, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I still had that, you know, I still can go to like Lauren Taylor and or Neiman Marcus and say, hey, I need a whole wardrobe line. I'm going to take this to this person and they're going to shop in and buy it from there. But it could be a downfall too because a lot of these stores are going bankrupt. So I'm going to be very limited on where I go and where I choose to go, whatever. And then they're making this new thing called Rent the Clothes. So a lot of stores are offering Rent the Clothes. You can rent the clothes and take it back, you know? Mm. But me, I don't want to rent clothes and take it back off somebody else's, you know, odors and stuff, you know?
Yeah. So you're kind of like a personal shopper in a way, but more advanced because you're picking out exactly what you want them to wear.
Yes, creating a whole look.
Are you working with a lot of designers here in Detroit? Or
I work with a lot of designers because I also produce fashion shows. So I work with a lot of designers, local designers and everything. It's a harder market for them. It's like in order to succeed in the fashion industry, you do have to go outside your city for a second and then come back. You got to get that knowledge and see what the people want. But you do have to go outside of your city because Detroit is not really known as the fashion capital. Mm-hmm. We know it as the Motor City. Mm-hmm. So they don't take us seriously here.
We can definitely change that.
Yeah.
But go back to this whole resale thing, because we know, I mean, if you look at the numbers just add up, and it's almost like, you know, every 5 years, there's another $20 billion that's being resold.
Right.
You know, so it's one of the major growth trends in fashion is the resale. And Real is one of them, and Trendy, and some of these companies.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, it's very, very, very successful. There's somebody making a lot of money doing resale. It's trending up. Are you hearing from any of your clients from the Stylist Closet that are saying, hey, you know, maybe I like the look that you've got going for me, but I don't want to spend that much.
Right. So we do have a lot of thrift stores that you can go out here to buy Chanel bags. Because a lot of people are not going to want to buy $20,000 bags if you can go get a thrift used one and get one for $1,500. So they do have stores like that you can go to you know, get those high luxury brands that you can get somewhere else. That's why a lot of people are pulling out of like Fashion Week, because Fashion Week used to have those luxury brands and everything there, but you don't have to do that anymore. So they pulled out like Mercedes and all them because it's an overseas brand. So they ready to keep their stuff overseas because it's easy for people just to go out of town and get it at a cheaper price versus going to like Somerset Collections and go to Louis Vuitton and double price it, you know? Yeah. Overprice it.
Yeah. And Fashion Week. Fashion Week is just... Well, any of the fashion shows, especially if you're putting them together and you understand how expensive these things are, there's a lot of money involved. In fact, I was telling you about the designer that had gone on a had gone down to Miami for swimwear, mm-hmm. fashion swimwear week. Mm-hmm. And that was, you know, and, you know, we were kind of naive. We didn't realize a lot of these designers have to pay big money. It's huge.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the whole, there's a weakness related to the whole designer world too. Mm-hmm. With regard to this,
I think far as like paying to be in fashion shows, I kind of think it's redone. It's kind of played out itself already. I think it's like you really have to do something virtual and get on like social media, because everything can crash one day, but you really got to get your business and your brand out there in order to succeed in the world. And going all the way to Miami, the reason why it's going to be successful, like swimsuits and all that in Miami, is because it's like they don't have winter like we do. So you can walk around every year and all year with a swimsuit on, versus here, we just shop when we going out on cruise or going out of town, whatever, you know, so...
So you've been in the industry for so long, and you're, and you know everything about the business. Why not start your own line? Since there's so many brands now that are, people are coming out with their own lines.
They are. Yeah. They are.
It's so big now.
Yeah, but I'd rather be the styling closet fashion agency, styling agency, because I love styling. Yes, my forte. Yeah. I love it. I found my niche.
Yeah.
I found what my customers want. So styling is my number one. I can style anything. My daughter, I have fun doing her. That's why I'm so blessed. I have a daughter, because she was so easy to style and everything. But it's fun to me, you know?
Yeah.
So as the stylist, are you collaborating with the, you know, the hairstylist, makeup artist, the skincare, all these other areas of fashion? Or are you just saying, I basically see what's going on here from an apparel standpoint?
Yes, I had to collaborate with everyone. And it's very, very stressful, because everyone want to get paid too. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I could do a fashion shoot. And they say, Latrice, I'm going to pay you $50 to do a fashion shoot, but I'm going to pay $100 for her makeup. And I'm like, no, this is a collaboration. We're going to get paid $100. We're all going to get paid $100, you know?
Yeah.
Because I got to do the most work. I'm like, if the clothes come back damaged, I got to be the one who paid for them. So I always make people, like, you know, sign the contracts and everything. Because if I'm bringing you Louis Vuitton and Gucci, I'm not going to pay $15,000.
Mm-hmm. You'll be liable.
Yeah, I'm reliable for it. Liable. So we have to collaborate. We have to collaborate with makeup artists just to bring that creative director side out of it and create the whole look. So
you're very well connected then, because there's a lot of moving parts to this business. She's not just styling their clothes. There's a lot. There's hair, makeup, there's
everything.
Yeah, it's all fashion related.
Well, yeah, she just opened a whole can of worms.
Accessories.
With the whole legal aspect.
Yeah.
Because even as an emerging designer, if I'm an emerging designer and I bring, and so it's not a $15,000 dress, but maybe it's a $2,000, I still don't want it returned, ripped.
Yeah, because I'm still responsible for it. So if I bring back something totally it's like a disaster.
That's why it's very,
they're not
going
to want to work with me anymore. So I have to bring it back the same way I took it out. Same way.
That's why it's so stressful for you. Yes. You got to make it look good, and you got to make sure you keep it in
good shape, top notch.
But are you in a sense schooling some of these emerging designers, like, hey, this is what you need to do. Yeah, I'm going to put your stuff up. I'm going to, you know, have it exposed, and you know, you're going to get some credit and so forth. But in order to do that, you know, you ought to watch out for this, and this, because I've been doing this for the last umpteen years. I mean, are you doing some of that mentoring?
I am. So I'm glad you said that. I am doing Detroit, Michigan's Fashion Summit.
That was my next question.
Michigan Fashion Summit. It's going to be September the 14th. Mm-hmm. I am one of the keynote speakers, and I'm also doing a workshop. So my workshop would teach individuals who want to get into the fashion industry the correct way. Contracts, the behind the scenes, clientele, even like you got to have like sponsorships, not even just sponsorships, you got to have proposals and everything. It's a whole package. It's not just putting cute clothes on, you know, your clients. You got to have everything.
You got to be prepared.
Prepared.
And it's coming. It's coming. Up. I noticed on your social media, which brings me to the question, can you tell our listeners where they can find you on social media?
So you can find me at Latrice Delgado Macon _ on Instagram, or The Styling Closet, or The Styling Closet is everywhere. Facebook, Instagram, the website is thestylingcloset.com. So I'm everywhere.
Okay.
Or your new domain, Lady Latrice.
Lady Latrice. Right.
That's funny. Yep.
Look out for that brand.
We're going to take a break. Welcome back to Fashion Cast. We're here today with Latrice Delgado Macon.
Oh, yay.
And we're back from our break. Before we broke. We were talking about Michigan Fashion Summit coming up on September 14th. It's in Pontiac. And Latrice has a gig there for sure. So what can you just explain a little bit more about the event and then exactly what you're going to be teaching there?
Yeah, so the Michigan Fashion Summit is by Lauren Hicks. She's the founder and creative over the whole event. So she's going to do a fashion show, a whole couple of days, 2 days of fashion events with a fashion show. And then she's going to have keynote speakers on the next day with workshops. Some of them have a workshop there at the Michigan Fashion Summit where I'm going to be mentoring young individuals how to break it off into the fashion industry, how to get recognized, who to talk to, who to not talk to. And I'm also going to give people like certificates at the end of the class for my hour workshop that they're going to be in.
Okay, wow. So two things. What is the cost? And then secondly, who exactly are these students? Are they already in fashion or are they in college or are they high school thinking about where are they?
So the students not necessarily all in college or whatever. I think it's going to be some college students there, like the CCS. But they're going to bring some people who just want to get into the fashion industry. So it's going to be all types of individuals, not just students. So it's going to be a little collaboration of all. And then the ticket price, I believe, is $65 or $60, I believe. Not quite sure, but they can check it out on Michigan Fashion Summit.
Not bad to get a certificate and have some experience.
Yeah, get the experience, get certificate.
So it's in 2 weeks. So what year is this for the Michigan Fashion Summit?
So this is their second annual.
Second.
I'm sorry. This is their third annual.
It's fairly new.
Yeah, so still kind of new. But she took a leap. She took a little gap in between like 2 years. So it's been going on since 2011. Mm. But she took a gap because she had got married and had a family and everything. So she just put it back all together. Mm. And she has some amazing sponsorships with it as well.
Wow, already? So it's a pretty big event then.
Yeah, it's pretty big.
A lot of people show up to the...
Yeah, so she's going to have some amazing people and amazing speakers. She has Ariane Simone. She's one of the keynote speakers. And Ariane Simone is one of the biggest PR people. And she used to be really big in Michigan, but she branched off into like going to Atlanta and California. She became a really huge PR person. Yeah.
Oh.
So she took a break for a couple of years and then you didn't pick up the mantle. I thought you would.
I know. Like, I wanted to. But I was like, hey, I can't get the name. So everyone, when it comes to like Detroit Fashion Week, Michigan Fashion Week, everyone copyrights their name. So you can't even use anymore. So what would you call it? Like the Motor City Fashion Week? Everybody's have a fashion week, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then do you know, Aki Chocolate? Yeah, through CCS.
Aki Chocolate.
I probably had to see the person. I'm so bad with names. Yeah. Some names.
So I know that he's collaborating with her too. And we've met him on several occasions. So, and we expect him to be, we want to do an on-site tour at CCS.
Oh, yeah.
So he's the chair of accessories.
Accessories.
Oh,
yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. He designs his own accessories, shoes and handbags. And he goes to Europe and Italy and he designs
That's
it.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We're getting you a guest, basically.
Yeah. I like that.
So, last week we had the honor and privilege of actually touring Detroit Denim, which we love, 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 and I love Eric Yelsma and his spouse. We didn't meet his spouse. But he's big on, and it's just amazing what we learned there, but basically Detroit Denim is a no-waste manufacturing facility.
Right.
So he's big on sustainability, and we had a pretty lengthy discussion about all of the sustainability and the problems within the fashion industry. And it's the number two polluter in the world. And, they're dumping a garbage truckload of apparel into a dump site every second of the day. I mean, it's just on and on and on. And I, as a stylist, someone who's immersed in the industry, are these things, you must be hearing some of this stuff. Is this stuff that you just step back and think about occasionally?
Yes, it is. But they can also recycle this. They can give it to the schools. They can give it to people like, homeless people and stuff they're not using. Mm-hmm. So it's like so many ways that you can do with scraps or whatever you're not using anymore. You can just donate it. And people are not donating anymore. They're so quick to throw stuff away and move on to the next.
Fast fashion.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the whole fast fashion. That's where,
That's why Eric was, everything's made to order.
with him, handmade and made to order. Nothing goes to waste. And that is a big problem now, sustainability in the industry.
Yeah, so that's a great piece of Detroit heritage in terms of what's going on in the fashion world. And then Aaron, who you know, is a big, big advocate of slow fashion. I mean, she's just preaching that and, of course, living the whole slow fashion. So are you seeing any of these trends, you know, towards slow fashion kind of taking off versus
or is it getting worse because of the internet and
the fashion is definitely getting faster. It's no slow to it.
That's what I figured,
you know, because it's changing every day. People come up with different things. You have all these fashion weeks and everything, but the difference is people are not winning anymore like they used to. Everything's changing, everything's going away, everything's like all internet and everything now, so it's like accessible to your hands. So you know,
that's true. It is getting worse, actually.
Yeah, it's getting worse.
And I don't want to be a Debbie Downer, but again, I think that if you're in the industry and you are, and we're kind of on the peripheral, you know, you have to be conscious and aware of what's going on, especially with, you know, fair trade, you know, or the lack of fair trade, you know, clearly some of the working conditions around the world, you know. And some of the companies that may say, look, you know, this stuff is produced here in the United States. Los Angeles is real good at this with the whole denim stuff where you think, oh, it came out of Los Angeles and it says Los Angeles denim. But then you realize it was actually, you know, manufactured in Indonesia.
Right.
So, you know, there might be some finishing touches here. I mean, there's a lot of games played. So, again, are you seeing that? And my point is, when you're talking to designers, are any of these conversations ever coming up? Because what we've found is there's like zero leadership in the industry with regard to sustainability.
Yeah, it's no leadership. I'm going back to the slow fashion. When you go back to slow fashion, whatever, people typically think it's slow fashion. You just wear basic colors, like the basic blacks. Like me, I wear basic blacks when I do certain things because I don't want to keep up with the trends. Because, you know, when you keep up with the trends, you got to spend more money.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
But they do have their stores like Forever 21, which is going through bankruptcy right now. And you have your stores like Zara and H&M to try to keep up with the trends, but it's kind of hard in today's market to keep up with all those trends. So you just have to wear the basic colors, and that's when it's called a slow fashion.
So what are you seeing in terms of the trends for fall with regard to some of the stores that you represent as a visual merchandiser?
So, and the trends that's going on for in the next couple of years, it's going to be all about the natural colors, the neutral colors. It's going to be some prints, like you will see the zebra prints, the leopard prints. They're bringing the African culture in for the 2020. So you'll see a lot of that. Then the following year, they're going to bring the Indian culture in. So it's more so the prints and natural colors. You're going to see a lot of natural colors.
But Indian. Those,
I know.
Those aren't necessarily natural colors. I mean, there's stuff that's
bright.
Really bright.
Yeah. So those are going to be for the spring and summer.
Oh,
right.
More basic.
Yeah, basic.
Classic, timeless fashion.
Right.
Yeah.
So you'll still see like the kimonos, but they'll be like the hot pink kimonos, the solid colors and everything. But they're getting away from that because now that the fashion industry is changing, we're going into the early 90s now, late 80s, early 90s in the fashion. And so you will still see the big oversized sweaters and the basic neutral colors and everything for the fall. We're still going to stick with that. And then we're going to bring the hot colors on for the spring and summer of next year, 2020. And those hot colors will be more than Indian culture. And then you will see the fall trends and everything for it. And this season will be the African culture.
Yeah, I love it. I love the whole color scheme.
Yeah.
There's especially, well, okay, so let's just cross over for 1 second before I forget. So what about men's fashion? Do you have any opinion about, you know, the doldrums going on in men's fashion?
So the men's fashion.
Or maybe you don't think they're doldrums. I don't know.
I love men's fashion. I love dressing men. Men are a little bit more easier. They can go to the mall and go straight to the one store and leave out. We had to take our time a little bit. But when it comes to men's fashion, this is my quote for a lot of guys. I think men should always get suits that are custom made to their body so they're not over baggy, because I hate seeing guys with baggy suits. The men's fashions are changing. It's more so like intersex, You can wear men and women fashion. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you can kind of like, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Anything goes. I see men walking around with Gucci purses on. They still look good with it. Yeah.
That's what it was.
Right. That's what it was at the Fashback. So you saw some guys walk around with their Gucci bags and it looked incredible.
Yeah. And why not? So practical. Yeah. Why shouldn't they carry a bag?
Yeah.
They still got to carry stuff like we do.
Yeah. So like in women's fashion, we wear men's suits. So anything goes. Nowadays.
I still always wear a blazer, right? With a dress or with jeans, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I thought that I heard, because I listened to a lot of these different podcasts, that some of this unisex dressing and design is part of the sustainability movement.
It is. You know?
So now we're not designing, 14 different outfits.
Exactly. You know, designed it for the men and the women to wear it. Mm-hmm. Anyone can wear it. Mm-hmm. So that's the thing with fashion. So like we can wear baggy pants with a cute top and a man can wear the skinny jeans.
Or denim jackets.
With a denim jacket.
Yeah. No, so it's unisex.
Yeah,
so.
Unisex.
Mm-hmm.
During the break, we were talking about Detroit and Detroit in terms of the fashion world and kind of a underworld in terms of fashion. I mean, there's some things going on here. There seems to be tremendous amount of activity. At least that's what we've run into. You know, I think we were surprised. We thought we'd start the show and then we would, have some guests from Detroit and talk. And it wouldn't peter out, but it wouldn't be as vivacious and we wouldn't have as many guests. But we've had tremendous quality in terms of the guests. And so we haven't even reached over to New York or L.A., and now we're thinking, my God, is this the same trend that's going on in Detroit? Is this probably going on like in Nashville and New Orleans and Miami? Is there some kind of underground fashion thing going on that's much more across the country rather than just the places you normally hear about?
Yeah, absolutely. I think every city and every state has their own trends and their own fashion thing going on. Detroit, we have our own. We set the trends. We have four seasons. So we got four seasons to get it right? Four seasons to dress for the occasion. So when you go to different places like California and they're not really into the winter like that. They mean they still wear winter coats because they get down to 50 or 40 degrees, but they're not as cold as us. Mm-hmm. We still have everything. We can do whatever we want. We can set the trends. When you go to different places, they will say that. When you go to New York, they say you're not from here. And I don't know if it's the vibe or the way we walk or something, but they'll say, absolutely, you are not from here. So, or they'll think you're from like a Brooklyn. Oh. You got to be from the suburb somewhere. They'll say
everybody has their own style.
Yeah.
Hmm. Now I'm thinking about it, what the Detroit style is. Really.
Yeah, I don't know what the Detroit style is. I guess.
That's your style.
Because I know LA, like you said, LA, how, everybody has their own vibe.
I think we're more so like neat. Like New York is more conservative, but we're more neat with our clothes. You know what I mean? Like we make sure that everything like looks good together. Our hair pieces, the glasses, the shoes got to match.
All the accessories.
We're that type of crowd in Detroit and the Michigan market. And I think that
we deserve some respect.
Yeah, we deserve the respect. We know
how
to put it together.
In the fashion world.
We
know how to put it together.
We know how to put
That's
it together.
That's a great observation.
Yeah,
really.
Very I'd good really, observation.
Only you would know that.
Only she would know
really,
that, yeah.
From traveling. Yeah. So let's, because now I'm interested. Because the other day I heard there's some of these, on one of the shows, they happened to bring up Atlanta and they just said, they have no fashion culture. They have no fashion sense. I'm thinking, really? I mean, I was in Atlanta recently, and there's so many people moving in and out of Atlanta.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There must be some fashion culture there. Yeah. I mean, like you said, isn't every city have their own?
Yeah. But see, Atlanta's a lot different, even though a lot of Detroit is...
School us. School us, lady.
A lot of people does move down to Atlanta, but they have their different thing going on. Like, you're not going to see Detroit. Like I said, we're a little bit more spontaneous. I'm going to say we spontaneous, a little bit more conservative, but a little bit of spontaneous too. And we set the trends here. New York is more conservative. In Atlanta, they're a lot different. Like, the guys are not going to put on 6-inch heels like they do in Atlanta and full face of makeup. So Atlanta crowd and Atlanta, like, fashion is a lot more different because there's more, they call it the Hollywood.
More open.
Yeah.
With their
So they're more Hollywood with their fashion. Am I saying that right? Hollywood?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
And it's important for a designer to know that's designing X, whatever they're designing, to know what market
Exactly.
And LA's designers don't. They don't know because
they don't know their market.
Business
and that's why a lot of people struggle because they don't know their market. They're just trying to get, you know, what's already out.
Uh-huh.
They style was already out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or they're trying to get it into a box store. And that whole story is going away based a lot on what you just said.
Yeah. A lot of stores are
you
leaving.
You have to know your demographic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I think people should reach out to doing online. But they are doing this thing like Macy's. We started it early spring. We started this thing called the styling kits. With a styling box where I come in monthly. I'll put a box together with different wardrobe and clothes. And then a person, the guest, whatever they can call in and say, hey, I know Latrice was there. I know she styled it. And you can call in and get that style box. So they do offer different programs like that. And another thing that Somerset are offering that, because, you know, people struggle with their fashions and everything, they do have this thing called a personal shopper now that's in a mall that you can go to the personal shopper and you can call them up and say, hey, can you bring some clothes to my store or I need, you know, some help? But don't go to them. Come to Latrice Delgado Makeup.
Don't go to them.
Don't go to them, no.
So, okay, so Sam Macy's, because you have a few connections there, right? But did they, so they hired somebody away, and you probably know her name, but isn't it the story? You know, you can go to a Macy's, maybe it's just New York, you can go to the Macy's in New York, and then she has a story, and it's displayed, and then you try to fit in, you know, where am I going to fit in this story? What do I like about the story that, and you're supposed to be more connected to get people into the store, they're connected, they stay there longer, and they're more interested, and then, of course, you know, they're buying more. So are you seeing those kind of plays? Because, you know, how do you get the people into the store? Once they're in there, it's like you said, it's the same old thing. I can just get that online.
So different. All Macy's do something different. Like that, like you said, Macy's New York does a story. Macy's Somerset does the It Collection. So the It Collection is they put the hottest looks on the mannequins. Anything that's really hot is gonna draw people's attention, and that's the looks that they're gonna have on the displays, and that's the looks that they're gonna sell because they know that's gonna draw the audience. So what they're doing now to bring people into the malls, they'll have like little DJs and everything come in to hype the store up a little bit, or they have like remarkable sales like Macy's every Sunday. They have a 30% off sale in different stores at Somerset. They will have different stores and everything to bring people in. But a lot of stores are still struggling because people are not shopping as much, or people are shopping only the clearance racks, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
So one of the weird questions I have, when I was in Chicago doing some shopping along, you know, the Magnificent Mile and all that, so I went into this one store and they must have had, and it was a men's store, but I'm not kidding, they must have had like 20 mannequins, and there were two, and they each had a different suit and tie and look and stuff, and it was so cool, you were just so drawn to that, and then you could just kind of pick and say, I like that, I just haven't seen that anywhere.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's like it doesn't work for everyone. I mean, or what kind of weird things are you doing or trying to do with the visual merchandising in some of these stores?
Yeah, so that's what basically we're doing. We're trying to tell the story, trying to get people to shop that look off the mannequin versus looking through the whole racks and everything. So we have to put that It style on the mannequins in order for them to get into the store to shop. Because if people don't see, if they see like basic colors, they're not going to shop the basic color. They want to see the trends. Mm-hmm. We like everyone into the trends. So people are into labels. You got certain people that's into labels. You got certain people that into certain styles or whatever. So you want to make sure that you have that look that they want on the mannequins. Like, I keep talking about Macy's because that's one of my biggest brands. Macy's, for instance, they never done a commercial with Gucci cologne. Now they have Gucci cologne in their commercials and everything because they want to know, let everyone know that they do carry the luxury brands.
Oh.
You know, so they trying to steal those clients from Neiman's and Saks to have you come to shop at Macy's at a lower cost.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, those two aren't doing too well either.
No one's doing well.
And Macy's is doing quite well. So let me just go back because I think we're getting close to the end. But I still, because I'm kind of, my mind keeps going around on this city thing and the stuff you said about this different cities. I mean, you can just start your own
podcast.
So what do you think are the next big cities? I don't see New York. And of course, New York's got a big problem in terms of the garment district. They've got 1.4 million square feet over there. that the developers are chomping at the bit to get. It's in Manhattan, you know, and as soon as that's gone, if it ever happens, right now they've got, a lot of incentives to stay there and so forth. But once those incentives go away, and of course the developers are asking them to get rid of the incentives so that we can take over and build more, whatever, high rises, the land's much more valuable. Mm-hmm. So if it's gone, the fashion district and industry in New York is gone. So what are the other cities that you're thinking off the top of your head that could kind of fill the void, or may have to anyway, because it's changing so fast?
Detroit.
That's what I was going to say.
We're next. They're building the H&M down here. There's going to be three levels. It's going to be on Woolworth Avenue. I can't remember the address. I had a 1401, something like that. But it's going to be Woodward. They're bringing the
when is that coming?
So that's, they said late fall. So late fall can go all the way to December.
Hopefully they don't go bankrupt like Forever 21.
So they're going to bring a lot of tourists that's going to be on Woodward, downtown Detroit. And they're going to put more stores down there. Right. And then they're going to build out one shopping mall right there, right, mm-hmm. where the old Hustons used to be. So it's going to be incredible.
Awesome. Yeah. Like, for instance, Zara. It took them forever to get here.
Yeah, forever.
Finally, they're here. I used to have to shop at the one in Chicago. Or Vegas when I lived there. But I was like, finally, there's one here. Yeah, so Detroit.
What was the other brand? Is it PVH or what's that? Or
oh, I know you're talking about.
Yeah.
I can't think of
it. So they're coming.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. So you think it's going to be like where the Hudsons used to be?
Yeah, the Hudsons. Good. But Detroit's definitely next.
Next.
I should say this next.
I hope.
We are definitely next because they're building up the Detroit area downtown. So they want it to be more than just cars, the automotive and everything.
Awesome.
And cars and fashion go collaborate hand to hand.
That's true.
Well, we know we have the land.
Yeah, I know.
We have a lot of land.
We got a lot of space.
We know it's available.
Yes.
We know Olympia Development has a lot of land.
Yes,
we
a lot
have
of
50 square blocks available.
A lot of people are investing, so now's the time.
Yeah.
So again, where can people find you?
So you can find me at Latrice Delgado Macon _ on Instagram, or The Styling Closet on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, as well as we have a website called www.thestylingcloset.com.
That's great.
Wow, we never even...
Yeah.
Next time we've got to talk more about this.
Yeah. Thank you so much for coming today.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, we'll do this again.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you can find us at Christine at FashionCastPodcast.com or Michael at FashionCastPodcast.com.
Or on Instagram at FashionCastPodcast. So thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week with another episode of FashionCast.